Robert Oppenheimer, the man who helped invent the atomic bomb, wrote after that first bomb went off. He quoted from, I think it was the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." That's Shiva, the God who is and is not. He's a God of opposites. He's male and female. Betty Andreessen says the one is androgynous too. He has made and formed everything that exists, will exist, or ever has existed, and he continues to recreate more of him in so many different ways over and over again. We as human beings who have been given a mind and an ability to create are all part of the one's creative body. That makes us a part of one another. Now, I want you to understand what she's saying here. We as human beings who have been given a mind and an ability to create, she says that we have God's ability to create, that we are the one, the creator, are all a part of the one's creative body. That makes us a part of one another. Betty. I'm sorry. I'm not going to call you Sister Betty, because every time you say something, Scripture flashes in my mind. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. See, we can't be part of her collective. We're different. So her attempt at trying to jam everything in the creation to be part of the one, including you and I and her together, I'm sorry, but I won't be part of that collective. You can count me out. So now there's two. Them and us. Get ready for this one. The beings told me Jesus was the hypostasis, which meant that he was, quote, united, human, and divine. Oh, that we all might reach that oneness through him. Now, I've got a lot to say about that statement. Jesus was the hypostasis. But I'm going to hold off on that. You're going to go, aw, no, I am. Because it actually is going to fit in with when I get to the gray aliens. Don't worry, I won't forget. I got it in my notes. Her statement that Jesus was the hypostasis. There's actually part of the Nag Hammadi texts written by the Gnostics during Paul's day. One of those books is called, what does she call them? The Hypostasis of the Archons. The word archon is a Greek word that is in the New Testament. I'm not going to tell you where yet. It goes on, the aliens who spoke to Betty that January night spoke of Jesus as, quote, coming soon. They also told Betty not to fear because the Lord is with her. Betty has never wavered in her belief that her gray abductors are angelic creatures preparing the way for the second coming of Christ. During Betty's UFO experiences, there was always a light within, giving her strength, for she believes the beings she has been involved with are angels or messengers sent by our Creator, the One who wants to embrace who we are, and connect to the divine plan that has been in place since the beginning of time. And that's from the book, The Lifting of the Veil. Now, let me introduce you to the real one. The real one that she's talking about. It's in the New Age. It's in the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, and I've explained it this way before, it's everything that God told the Israelites not to learn from the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land. He said, when you get in that land, just burn down their temples, break up their idols, don't read their stuff, don't ask them how they practice their religion, don't learn anything from them. Well, just like little kids, that's what Israel did. As soon as they got in there, they're going, oh, wow, look at that. I wonder how they, ooh, that's neat. Oh, you guys mean you can like have like temple prostitutes and still worship God? Well, sounds like that's for us. So they committed great whoredoms, so bad that over the years that God dealt with Israel, God finally wrote her a bill of divorce and said, I am done with you, and cast her aside. All is one. World Kabbalah Convention 2018. Notice all the people, like little puzzle pieces, joined together. There's 10 little heads here surrounding in a circle this big white dot in the middle. That's 10 plus 11, which is the number for Babel. Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, confusion, chaos, disorder. Okay? The symbol of the point within the circle is actually a symbol for the one. And it, you know, symbols, they say symbols can mean everything, right? Well, there's a ton of meanings for the point within the circle. And one of them is the circle represents everything that is connected together to form the dot in the middle, which is the one. Okay? According to Kabbalah, the Ein Sof is the one, the creator, who could not create matter directly, so had to create 10 emanations. Go back to that All is One World Kabbalah Convention. See the 10 heads there? That's why. It's because they believe that God, or the Ein Sof, since he could not create matter, because he can't be defiled by it. Ooh, that's matter. I can't touch that. So he created a lesser God, who then created a lesser God, who created a lesser God, who created one less than him, and then one less than him, one less than him, one less than him, one less than him. So that he could finally create a lesser God who could create all matter in the universe. That's the same exact thing that the Gnostics believed. And the Gnostics basically was, there's no new thing under the sun, right? So the Gnostics, their ideas became the basis for the Jehovah's Witness doctrine. So they say, remember what they do to John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They added the letter A to that verse. All they did. And yet it changes everything, because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus was a created being created by God who then could create the matter that's in this world. So that's what Betty Andreessen really means by the one. Her doctrine and the Kabbalah match perfectly. The Gnostic Gospels and the Gnostic doctrines about God creating these 10 emanations and so on. So they created by the former until the last one could create the universe. And so you see here the picture of these 10 circles and the one down here in the very heart of everything is the one who then could create everything. And I want you to notice, along with, you know, the point within the circle. The circle, What's the only verse in the Bible that has the word circle in it? The book of Isaiah, was it chapter 40, where it says the circle of the earth, right? So the one is the point that's within the circle. He's in the heart of the circle, which is the bottomless pit. That's where he is right now. And they believe that in all of us, in fact, in everything, the pages of this book, this computer, and this pen, all has a spark of the one in it. Isn't that great? That this pen and this computer and this book here and this fabric on this desk and this tie, it all has a spark of the Creator. See, the Creator is all of His creation. He is everything that is and everything that is not. Here's how this website actually tries to fuse the Kabbalah in with New Testament doctrine. The Kabbalah of creation. How did God create the world? It's called the Zimzum, creation out of nothing. In the beginning, there was only God and nothing else. God, or Ein Sof, was an all-encompassing divine presence slash light called Ein Sof, the light of infinity. Since nothing but God existed before creation, when God decided to create Yesh, something, from its Ein, which means nothing. See, Betty Andreessen said the one was nothing. God needed to make space or to provide room for that which was not God. Have you ever heard these worship leaders or some of these new preachers now say, before God can come in our presence, we need to create space for God in our life? You ever heard them say that? They didn't read that in the Bible, did they? Can you read anything in here that says we have to create space for God? God makes His own space, okay? God will take what's already His. Does it? I hate every false way. God needed to make space to provide room for that which is not God. God therefore emptied Himself by contracting His infinite light to create a conceptual space for the creation of the universe. In a great cosmic flash, which is the Big Bang, God then condensed into a point of infinite density and infinite energy called the Zimzum, which means contraction, and exploded out in all directions, i.e. the cosmic Big Bang. In a sense, this self-imposed contraction of the infinite light is a picture of God sacrificing Himself for the sake of creation. You see, the Jews are the ones who came up with this, the Big Bang Theory. Einstein was a Jew. Okay? And don't get me wrong, I love Israel. And God has a seed preserved from them. I don't hate the Jews. But their gospel is not the same gospel as what's in this book. And a lot of people, including a guy I know, turned himself over to Hebrew roots nonsense. And I am very afraid that he is going to be full-blown into the Kabbalah at some point if he doesn't change. As a result of this cosmic tragedy of the breaking of the vessels, Adam Kadmon himself, which is supposedly the one, was shattered into a multitude of individual souls, which are now trapped as Kelapot. Human beings are therefore exiled and in confusion in the other side. Each human soul is nonetheless a spark, a nitzatz, that originated in this great Adam. The task for humanity is tikkun, repair, the raising of the sparks by removing the kernel from the husk. This is the motivation. Do you know what that language is? It's about transformation, removing the kernel from the husk. The husk is this body. Okay? It's about transformation. It's about being born again. That's what it is. Eventually, each individual can be reconstituted in the upper world, and the lost sparks of God's light will be restored to Adam Kadmon. Finally, God will be all in all, and the world will be restored to heavenly perfection. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. When that happens, God will be all in all? Are you nuts? Well, yeah, they are. This doctrine is from hell. It does not come from the Scripture. It doesn't come from the Old Testament. It's every occult, hellish doctrine that the Jews learned from the Canaanites. It's the old religions turned into Jewish mysticism, which now pervades even into supposedly Christian churches that you would not categorize as Hebrew roots churches. But this same idea now pervades in there. Because they've gone away from the Word of God, they created a space now for God to fill it in, and it's filled in with a bunch of nonsense. During the hypnosis investigation of my time as a child within the world of light before the One, I vaguely understood that everything is one. Betty Lucas. She then says, there are three original eternal powers, which always were, are, and forever will be. These three powers were not created, but are the eternal powers of will, love, and life within the heart of the One. Remember what I said. The One contains God the Father, God the female Holy Spirit, and their baby boy. And it seemed as though the Spirit was consciously attempting to reveal and clarify something to me concerning His eternal power. And because I am a Christian, not really. I choose to understand this oneness of His will, love, and life through my faith. I understood that the first eternal power in the heart of the One is law, the Father. The Holy Spirit, Mother's eternal power, is absolute truth. Stop right here. There's a name for that. In the Kabbalah, you have the Tree of Life. I'll show you that in a minute. The Tree of Life, the Sephiroth. And on one side, you have polar opposites. You have these three pillars. The one on this side is Yahweh, the positive, the male, the masculine. On the other side is the female, the negative, the passive, Shekinah. So the Shekinah glory is when Yahweh, the masculine, and Shekinah, the feminine, mate together and consummate themselves, creating the One. That's corrupt. The Holy Spirit, Mother's eternal power, is absolute truth. And the third group of eternal powers, which is held by the Son, includes mercy, forgiveness, and eternal life. These three divine powers agree and express the One's eternal love of order, truth, unity of family, and of life. Extending from the three eternal powers within this heart, there are levels of angels and beings that also are the creations and expressions of the One. See, she believes in all this divine emanation stuff. The Creator's mind and will made everything through His three powers that are one. With joy in His heart, He formed a natural male and female body from the dust of the ground and breathed His Spirit within them, so they each became a living soul. She is so corrupting the Word of God. I got to go here. She believes what Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Myers, and Rick Warren and a host of others believe, that when God created Adam, He created him both a male and a female together. But that is not what it says. And they say, well, He created Adam a male and a female because God is male and female. Verse 29 of Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His male own image. In the image of God created He, him, male and female created He, them. Not male and female created He, Adam. He created Adam, then took the rib, created the female. He did not take the female from Adam and then turn it into a woman. That's not what He did. That's not what this Bible says. She's a liar. So, listen to her explain the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's two trees, right? Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, you should not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't give Adam a reason why. He just told him not to. It's God's business why. He just told Adam not to do it. Remember what Satan did. He questions the authority of the word of God. Yea, if God said. He directly contradicts the word of God. Ye shall not surely die. Where God said, ye shall surely die. He said, ye shall not surely die. Now that Eve's mind is void of the commandment of God, now that she's created a space there, an empty void, Satan then fills it with, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He introduced a false gospel. Ye shall be as gods. That's at the core of Betty Andreessen's whole statement. Listen to what she says about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. As the story goes, all the fruit from those trees was good for them to eat, with the exception of the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. This particular tree of knowledge belonged to the one. Near his entrance to the garden was the tree of life, which stood protected by his angel, who held a two-edged flaming sword of fiery power, moving every which way. This meant none could go in until the work of the one was completely finished. Now, remember I mentioned the Sephiroth a while ago. The Jews call the Sephiroth the tree of life. But when you understand it, it's really not the tree of life. It's the tree of opposites, good and evil. And take a look. There on the one side, you have God, good, light, male, white fire, evil, darkness, female, black fire. They're opposites. Okay? Remember what Jim Staley said. I covered this a while back. Jim Staley said, we have divorced the white fire from the black fire. And when he said that, I'm going, I don't remember reading that in the Bible anywhere. Where did he get it from? Well, I found out he got it from his Jewish rabbi masters who teach that the Torah scroll is the white fire and the black fire. The black fire is the black letters in ink that Noah wrote on the page. The white fire is the white space between those letters, the paper. And the Jews believe, the Jewish rabbis teach, that God is more understood in the white fire than the black fire, which means that God is better understood by what's not written more than what is written, if you even understand what that means. It means void out everything in your mind, then you will understand God. So you see here the Kabbalah. The Sephiroth, the tree of life, is not the tree of life. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Opposites joined together. If you notice, in the middle there, there is a human figure. Let's count these circles again. The one on the top, that's one. Then on the right is two, across them it's three. And then down on the next level, the blue one is four and five. The one in the middle there is six. Go down, the one on the right there is seven, across is eight. Then down, the purple one's nine, and then the number 10. But there's another one there that's not numbered. It's up just south of the two and the three. You want to know who that is? Let me show you. And I realize I'm going to have to cut this in half because I'm giving you a lot of, I can't stop anywhere in here. I have to keep have to keep it together and teach it all as one. And I'll break the video up. I probably already have. You're watching part two by now. But anyway, Revelation 9. I see it. There's a star falling from heaven. I think it's Lucifer. I could be wrong. But anyway, it's clearly an angel that falls from heaven, and he's given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opens it up. And so what happens? All these locusts come out, right? Well, starting in verse 7, he starts describing these locusts. And I won't read all this to you for time's sake, but if you count, the shapes of locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had the hair of women. See, they're opposites. They're male and they're female. They're androgynous. So there's four things right there. And if you count them all the way down to verse 11, there's 11 things that define who these angels are. 11. And it's in the 11th thing that describes them is in verse 11, where it says they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue had this name Apollyon. Those names mean destroyer. Remember what Robert Oppenheimer said, I am become death, the destroyer of worlds, right? Okay, and by the way, Hebrew and Greek together, Hebrew has 22 letters, Greek has 24 letters, 46. And I don't know if you remember this, but I caught Jim Staley, who's now serving prison time, with teaching right out of the Kabbalah playbook, using that same illustration that I just showed you, calling this, watch this, Yeshua is, this is from his video. This is his graphic from his video. Yeshua is the fullness of the Godhead. Because he says, this, I believe, is a beautiful picture of the Godhead. This comes from ancient Judaism, mystical Judaism. The two pillars were the two pillars in the temple. One on the right side was all the male attributes of God, and on the left side was all the female attributes of God. It's exactly what Betty Andreessen said that was contained in the one, that the Father and the female Holy Spirit, Shekinah, coupled and made Jesus. So Staley points out that in the center, there's the silhouette of a guy in there. And he says, in the center, if you look closely, you will find the figure of a human being. In the center was the perfect balance of the male and female attributes of Elohim, of Yahweh. And it was the feet of what was called the middle pillar that actually touched the earth. He is reading this right out of the Kabbalah playbook. And he always spoke out of two sides of his mouth. You know, he called our office one day, mad as a hornet, because I called him out in a video I did called the Sacred Name or Witchcraft. And I accused him of preaching Sacred Name. And he called our office and left a message on the answer machine. He said, you lied about me. I'm a fundamentalist Christian and all this garbage. And he said, I don't believe what you said I believe. Well, I went to his website and proved it on PMO. I read it directly from his website that he believed that you should use the sacred name. You shouldn't use it in English. God doesn't understand English. He only understands Hebrew. I mean, what kind of God is he, right? So this is how he finishes the statement here on the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life. They believed that the Messiah was the middle pillar of the Godhead, that had perfect balance between the male and the female attributes of God. Now, that's what these mystical Jewish people came up with. I don't think they're that far off, because I think the middle person of the Godhead is Yeshua. Ladies and gentlemen, you are supposed to be that middle pillar. Direct quote from his video, The Trinity, Part 4, Passion for Truth Ministries. You can look that video up and watch it, and you'll see what he's saying. So let's go to Manly Hall. He is our native expert on all things Masonic and mystery religion-wise, and he's got some pretty good insights. Now, I'm not calling Manly Hall some great guy. I'm just saying, if there was a secret mystery teaching, he knew about it. Here's what he says. The numbers 1 to 10 rule every creature, and the numbers in turn are under control of the monad. You know what the monad is? It's one. The god of Pythagoras was the monad, or the one, that is everything. He described God as the supreme mind distributed through all parts of the universe, the cause of all things, the intelligence of all things, and the power within all things. He further declared the motion of God to be circular, the body of God to be composed of the substance of light, and the nature of God to be composed of the substance of truth. The monad signifies A, the all-including one. The Pythagoreans called the monad the noble number, sire of gods and men. And what that means is exactly what we learned a while ago, that the Ein Sof, the God who is nothing, had to create 10 emanations lower than himself so that that 11th thing down there could create the world. So he is the God of this world. Well, we know who that is, don't we? It's Satan. And Satan's going to give the Antichrist his power, seat, and great authority. He also says, by the Pythagoreans, monad was called chaos, obscurity, chasm, Tartarus, Styx, abyss, Lethe, Atlas, Axis, Morpho, a name for Venus, and the tower or throne of Jupiter. Because of the great power which abides in the center of the universe and controls the circular motion of the planets about itself. Monad is also called germinal reason because it is the origin of all the thoughts in the universe. Other names given it were... Stop right here. The origin of all the thoughts in the universe? Are you saying God is the origin of all the dirty thoughts I had when I was like a teenager? Is that what you're saying? I don't think so. God's not the author of confusion. And that's who they're saying the monad, the one, is. Other names given it were Apollo because of its relation to the sun, Prometheus because he brought man light, Parelios, one who exists in fire, Genitor because without it no number can exist, Substance because substance is primary, Cause of truth, and Constitution of symphony, all these because it is the primordial one. Prometheus is not really the man who brought light to the earth. Prometheus is the one who stole fire from the gods and brought it down to man. Let's get that one a little bit more accurate there, manly. Now, here's in these verses who our one is. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, stop right here, because you might be thinking, see, it says that. Words are words. And the right words are in this book. And any wrong words are not in this book. Like, the word was a God. See, that's a wrong word. That's not in our Bible. Neither does it say, and these three are the one. It doesn't say that. It says these three are one. John 10:30, I and my Father are not the one, one. John 17:22, I love this. This is my first time I read John 17. It's like Christ's prayer for his church before he goes and sacrifices himself. And I remember the first time I read that as a young pastor, I cried because I saw so much love in that. And Jesus said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. Isn't that beautiful? 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 12:12. He's talking about the Bible. For as the body is one and hath many members, so all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Now understand, Christ is not part of one with all of those who are the sons of Belial. He's not. He's not one with them. He is a separate one. So there's two. There are two types of people in this world, those who are and those who are not saved, and they are not all part of a collective, and neither can be. You can't even serve two masters, okay? So let's bring in something that we studied here a couple years ago dealing with the all-seeing eye and the capstone. Remember the capstone series? One of those series that I never finished, okay? Well, here's part of it because we started out looking at the great seal. And remember what it said? E pluribus unum. Out of many. Manly Hall actually says the correct translation of this is the one. E pluribus, out of many, comes the one. It's actually the name of a movie with Jet Li. I don't know if you ever saw this movie. I did because it, you know, I was just learning about New Age content, New Age phrases, New Age ideas, you know, reading through Marilyn Ferguson's the Aquarian Conspiracy, where she has the triquetra, which represents the one, right? So anyway, that phrase, the one, I was becoming familiar with, and here's Jet Li, he makes this movie, and it's, and get this now, it says that there are multiverses. There's multiple universes out there, which is part of a little bit of what we read, if you understand what Betty Andreessen was getting at, when she said that God is still creating more of it, or the one is still creating more of himself out there. There's multiverses, multiple universes all over the place, right? So the idea was that this guy found out about all these other universes and that in every universe there was a copy of him in all these universes. So during in this movie, it's like set in the future, and they have these police force that can travel through these different universes to make sure that everything is balanced in the universe or something like that. Well, this Jet Li character is also traveling to these alternate universes, and he finds the copy of him in that universe and kills him. And what he finds out is that he gets the power that this one had in that universe into himself. And the more universes that he visits and kills the copies of himself, he gets their collective energy into him. And he's becoming like this really strong, really smart, nearly invulnerable guy. And they kind of explain it during the middle of the movie, you know, what happens when he gets to all of his whatever and kills them all. And he says, well, he'll become a god, or maybe a devil, or both, something like that. I don't remember. It's been a while since I watched it. But it's really interesting because at the end of the movie, they are resting because there's only two of them left. One of them's a good guy, Jet Li. The other one is a bad guy, Jet Li. They are the duality concept in all of this I'm talking about. It's the polar opposites. And guess what? The good guy, Jet Li character, goes to one of these universes called Paradise. And it's like a picture of heaven. And the bad Jet Li gets sentenced to everlasting confinement to the Hades universe. That's the word for hell. And the closing scene, I'm not kidding you, the closing scene has Jet Li, the bad one, ascending this pyramid here, fighting all these bad guys, and he says, I don't belong to anybody. I am the one. And he ascends up the pyramid, fighting all these guys to the top of the pyramid. Dun, dun, dun. Now you want to go watch it. Because I'm just telling you, that's what's in there. Two of them are left. They're very powerful. One goes to paradise, one goes to Hades. The one. Neo. Remember the Matrix series? The Wachowski brothers. Wachowski sisters. Yeah. Both of the Wachowski brothers transgendered themselves. Both of them. It's crazy. But I know why. Those guys, they studied Gnosticism. They studied practically every religion in the world and grouped it all together into this Matrix series. And then the second one, see, Neo is the one. Well, in the first one, he's not the one, at least not in this life. So what happens at the end of the first movie? He gets killed, and he rises back from the dead. Now he's the one. So now Neo goes through this door like Betty Andreessen. Have you seen it? He finds the keymaster key. He's got the key to open the door, and he goes through this door. He's bathed in light, and he's standing before this guy. He says, hello, Neo. I'm the architect. I created the Matrix. You're the one. The architect? Are you kidding me? That's the Masonic term for God, the great architect of the universe. And he calls him the sum of some anomaly, he calls him the sum of the remainder of an otherwise balanced equation. So he's like the remainder of, he's like the sum of everybody that's in the Matrix. He is the one. And he's the Savior who saves Zion. Can't make this stuff up. Here's Jean-Luc Picard in the Star Trek series. He is Locutus. He is part of the one who are the Borg. And the Borg are... See, you can't, well, I say you can't make this stuff up, but apparently they did, because the Borg are this collective governed by a queen, like a beehive, and they are part human and part technology. And see, we're on the verge. We are like, here's the end of the wall here. Here's the cliff. And we're like right here, because within just, let's say, 10 or less years, they will have perfected the neural link to link people's minds into the World Wide Web. 10 years or less. If left to ourselves, it may take us 10 years. But spirits are involved here, and we know God's timing. I don't know what God's timing is. He may delay it. He may increase it. But at some point, everybody's going to start being linked into the collective, and they'll all be hybrids, and they will all be the one. That's coming. Then you look around. Ecumenical groups called The One, a magazine of a denomination I used to belong to, used to be called Contact Magazine. All the churches got it. But then a few years ago, they changed it to One Magazine. Isn't that dandy? So we left. We said, we're not part of your collective any longer and never will be again. And a lot of them would say, you know, Mike, we're glad to hear you say that because we don't want you back. One conference, unite, ignite, impact. Ignite, you know where that comes from? The divine spark in all of us that must ignite so that the one could be whole again. Are you kidding me? A lot of people in the UFO movement say that the alien visitors have, and I've said this before, the alien visitors have told them that everything in the universe is already connected. I mentioned the Apollo 11 astronauts earlier. Edgar Mitchell always signed himself the sixth man to walk on the moon. Six, right? And I'm not kidding you. This is, you can go to, he started a group called the Noetic Science Institute. Edgar Mitchell, on his way, Apollo 14, on his way to the moon, he is a nuts and bolts engineer scientist. And by that I mean everything is science, mechanical, readable. You only believe in it if you see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it, or can measure it in some way. That's what he is, going to the moon. And, you know, there's a lot of things to do to go to the moon, to land on the moon, to come off of that safely. So he's coming back from the moon. I can't remember who it was with him that landed on the moon. They're coming back. It's a three-day journey. And Edgar Mitchell has this experience. And he tells everybody about it. He says, I at once had this absolute bliss. And I'm going to do more research on this. But he said it was absolute bliss because it dawned on me. Now that I'm not filling my mind with the mission because we're on our way back, and all we have to do is float, wait, you know, back to Earth. And he said, it dawned on me that the molecules in my body were connected to the atoms in my body. And the atoms themselves originated from the stars and everything that I see around me. Because, you know, you're in space. You're not hindered by the Earth's atmosphere. You can see stars that the human eye had never seen before. And he says this happened while he was on the moon. He said it was just, or while he was on the way back, and it was absolute bliss that he experienced. And he related it to something in Hindu mysticism, and I'm going to look into that. But he said even after landing, he would go out on the patio and look out and look at those stars again and get that experience again. So he started the Institute for Noetic Science. And what he now claims is, instead of just being a scientist, I became a spiritual being on the way back from the moon. And he said, I'm going to try to connect science with the spiritual world, because he thinks, you know, during the Renaissance, the Dark Ages, the evil guys were the Catholic priests who said, the earth is flat, anybody who says anything different than that, we're going to excommunicate and we'll have you killed. Well, now it's the scientist. Science has taken over. Now the scientists have gone to the extreme other side and says, it's all science. There is no God. There is no spirits, nothing. If we can't measure it, see it, taste it, smell it, touch it, measure it, then it doesn't exist. So now Mitchell says, I'm going to balance the two. And the Institute of Noetic Science, noetic means something that occurs to you that doesn't come by way of reading or some measurement that your body makes. It comes to you by intuition. And I believe spirits jumped all in him. And Edgar Mitchell was a firm believer in UFOs. Now he claims, and this doesn't make sense, he claims that no Apollo astronaut that he knew of saw any UFOs, and I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. And he's dead now, okay? But anyway, he believed that he was one with the universe, and this is what most in the UFO movement the UFO experts are saying, that the aliens told this to Betty Andreessen. They're telling this to all the abductees, the contactees. Everybody is starting to believe this idea that we're all connected. Tom DeLonge's group, To the Stars Academy, basically believes the idea that we're going to achieve interstellar travel the way the aliens do. And it's through realizing that everything in the universe is connected. And once you realize it's connected, then we would be able to go from here to there at the speed, not at the speed of light, at the speed of thought. It is at the core of what communism is, communitarianism is, the community ideas, the community churches, and the community preachers, and the people who say none of us can be saved if all of us can't be saved. You cannot have a personal salvation. It must be given to everybody, or none of us can be saved. And that is the exact opposite of God. He is a personal Savior. And He says to us, if nobody else is going to follow me, you follow me. That's what I believe in. And it's the idea that's represented by the yin and the yang. Yin and the yang is a circle. Remember the circle, right? And the circle is light and darkness. And there's a little darkness in light and a little light in darkness. But that's not the scriptures. The scriptures say, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And light is not darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, 1 John says. But there is a place that doesn't make any sense. There's an actual location where light is as darkness. Job 10, verse 21. Before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. That's the same place where the beast that was and is not and yet is. You see, He is in the land of darkness, the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and the shadow of death without any order. That's chaos. You know the word chaos means? It's a Greek word for the abyss. You know, the Masons' motto, Ordo Ab Chao, order out of where? The pit, meaning the new world order is going to be created by the one who's coming from the chaos, the place without any order, the abyss, the pit, where light is as darkness. See, it's a place that doesn't make any sense. And its opposites fuse together like they mingle themselves with the seed of men. Iron and clay, hard and soft, male and female, masculine, feminine, light and darkness. Same idea, same concept. Let me finish with this. I got to give praise. I talk about the devil all this time. We got to give praise to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And I love that. Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over the earth, over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. Not the one. One. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. You see, John got to see the real one. And he didn't have any trouble at all remembering what he had saw and wrote every word of it down. But with Betty Andreessen's The One, she was forbidden from revealing most of what she said she saw. I don't think she's given us the whole story. Because I think if she really admitted who she saw back there, that the description that she gives already tells me it's not Jesus and it's not the God that we serve. It's the alien God. He's the one that's going to bring the other gospel to this world. And whether Betty Andreessen's around or not, he don't care. He uses whoever he wants. He'll find somebody else to give some kind of bogus thing to, and they're going to come and tell everybody about it. It's all lies, every bit of it. Okay? So that's why, and see, I still haven't told you what really grabbed my attention with Betty Andreessen. That's next week. Okay? There's more to it. Absolutely phenomenal. Because I'm going to show you next week. She actually saw and was initiated in front of a real phoenix. That's coming up next. Okay? You are the reason why I do what I do. And it's a joy to bring this to you. I spend a lot of time studying this stuff, reading it, watching stuff, separating out the stupid stuff, studying the scriptures to make sure we are still on target here. And the devil doesn't like his little plans being exposed. So you pray for us. I appreciate those of you who already do. I really do. So anyway, I got to go. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.